Hello, it's The Whip Around with your hosts, Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space.
Words.
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me.
So to my question, you
this
did.
This is my segment.
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
And Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yo.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
This is a show about news, but we're going to talk about it in a way you're not expecting. We're going to take some current topics, flip them on their head, and examine them from angles that other people are too scared to talk about or, quite honestly, too ashamed to. So get ready for some foul language, get ready for some pop culture spoilers, and remember, nothing on the show is safe, nothing is sacred. Get ready, here comes the Whip Around.
We return! Aren't we all lucky? We return, and it's just us cool kids today on the Whip Around. Jill is here.
What?
And Dave. Dave is on the horn.
Just us cool kids? Is that... Should Phil take umbrage with that?
Yeah.
All right.
Probably should. Right, no, but you know what I mean? There's no guest, no specials. If Phil were here, Phil is the fourth cool kid. But I'm saying it is native Whip Arounders exclusively. But thank you, Dave, for finding the fissure and trying to widen that a little bit. We do miss Phil, who is he's somewhere. He's out of state. He was in Vegas.
In Vegas.
I don't know if he's still in Vegas or if he's zooming all over the country. But Phil, drama notwithstanding, how are you two these days, Dave? You seem to be kicking your heels up and pranksterin' like always, causing trouble.
I'm some mulching this weekend. You know, get the house ready for the summer season. So nothing. I've been doing nothing.
Yeah, those all sound like great pranks.
Yeah, he's a real leprechaun of a man.
I'm no Spring Hill Jack, buddy.
That's finally got like a reference. It's been like, I don't think we had one reference last show.
I was really happy that he won, by the way.
Right?
I was.
Did you have a, like, I was also kind of this
no,
person
No, dude, I'm Jill. I want Jack to freaking win.
That's true.
Crazy? Okay. And good he's point, a cool, it's a cool character.
Well, I had a lot of messages that people were pulling for Bigfoot.
Whatever, yeah.
I just wanted to hear you announce.
Bigfoot.
You know, and I feel like everybody kind of had their own, well, I guess not Jill. Jill's was Spring Heel Jack.
Yeah.
But we all kind of were like thumbing on the scale, like young Washington for me. Clearly, whether Dave meant to or not, sort of adopted. What was the name?
Oh, you mean Bigfoot?
I'm kind of glad there's no pop filter for that one. And Phil, I clearly was sort of like, well, Luke Skywalker would make a lot of sense. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah, well, I don't have a lot of news on my end. It's we're about to go to the shore.
Down the shore.
We're going to go down the shore for a little while. And we're going to be at the shore on Father's Day.
Oh, man, me too. Where are you going to be?
Wildwood Crest, brother.
I would be at the Sea Isle, Sea Isle City.
I don't know anything about geography. How far
they're
is
that? They're all close.
Right? I mean.
They're all
the
close.
Same county.
Well, that's great. We'll have to try to connect up there, Jill. I'm sorry. The docket is full. But, you know, in the interest of moving things along, Jill, can you update us on any news, any exciting, fun events going on with you? Or should we...
I don't have anything.
Should we just sort of smash the door open and go straight into a magical segment?
I think so.
Well then, ladies and gentlemen, I know it hasn't been all that long since we did one of these, but we're lucking out again. We are getting to hear, so soon, another edition of...
Here's the Thing. Good Lord.
And we want to know what the thing is.
Okay, so I was recently introduced to a YouTube channel from another favorite of both Sean and myself, Caitlin Dowdy. It's not her YouTube channel, which is fantastic.
Ask a Mortician.
Yep, Ask a Mortician. But she posted on Instagram some snippets from another YouTube channel that I then was compelled to check out. It's called Girl Defined, and it's hosted by these two sisters who are white, blonde, and very pretty, and just kind of helping to paint a picture for you. It's not really that important.
I dislike them already.
But they're basically, when you look at their videos, they say, hey, it's his, whatever, and I forget their names already. But
Candace.
Right, they may as well be the same
Skipper.
Name. But Welcome to Girl Defined Ministries. Oh. And so we have titles like 8 Reasons We Aren't Feminists, The Modern Woman's Struggle with Sexual Sin, 6 Guys You Shouldn't Date, Court, or Marry, How to Wear Makeup in a God-Honoring Way, Should Christian Girls Celebrate Halloween? The answer to that one is, surprise, surprise, spoiler alert, no. The number one thing single girls should look for in a future husband but rarely do? The answer to that one is, love God genuinely and be the spiritual leader in the home. How to be single and satisfied at the same time. Dressing modestly for God. And my favorite one that I watched before coming over tonight was 4 lies our raunch culture is feeding you. And one of those is sensuality is a good thing. That's a lie. Because they're saying that culture saying that it's empowering, and they're saying that raunch, that's not good, that's not true. But here's the thing. Raunch isn't equal to sensuality. Those are not equal things. So I have an issue with that. Sex before marriage is a good thing. That's a lie that society is feeding you. I get where some of these I don't necessarily – I personally disagree with them, but I don't have a problem with people saying this is my religion, so this is my view on it. My problem with most of the things that they have on here in terms of modesty, wearing different – you know, wearing modest clothing all the time, not being sensual, all these things, is that nothing is ever about men. So the onus in all of these videos is on women, and what does it mean to be a good Christian girl? And everything has to do with, you know, well, what does God say and what does the Bible say? That's my thing, is that I was raised Christian. I don't necessarily consider myself to be a Christian now, but I can tell you from what I learned from the Bible is that just be a good person, and you doing these things isn't, it's up to you, basically. The whole Halloween thing, they're like, no, you shouldn't celebrate Halloween. The one sister was like, I do a fall festival.
Why?
And I'm like, but then just don't anything.
Is there what, I don't mean to cut into your.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Because it's probably
open
like a druidic.
Well, I'm saying what was the reason given that it is not.
That's all about death and like gore and all this sinful stuff.
Do they read Revelation? What?
But my whole thing too is then just don't celebrate it.
So, okay.
Just do Jehovah's Witness and be like, we're just not going to celebrate it. Like, there's no need to be like, you shouldn't celebrate it. Just say, I'm not going to celebrate it. I just don't get, just be like, I don't care what you do. I'm not going to do it, so therefore the need for this video really doesn't exist.
So the
and I'm a little bitter because they have way more subscribers than I do, and I just feel like...
Yeah, I just pulled it up, 123,000. There's a,
yeah.
That's a lot of not celebrating Halloween. That's a lot
really
of...
Really not that much.
That's a lot of orphaned candy corn. Well, so Jill, all right, can you distill the thing that you've pulled out of all of this? What is the headline message you want us to take from it? Keeping stuff to oneself? Is it more about...
No, I think a lot of it, though, is that some of their stuff, especially pertaining to women, is that women can't be sexual creatures or sensual, that somehow if you're doing that, now all of a sudden you're raunchy and you're not respecting your body, and that goes against God. And I just disagree with that.
Onus
and I think that
women.
Yes, and I think onus on women, which I don't think is correct. Onus on everybody. But also, I have a problem, and I've always had a problem, with people... cherry picking parts of the Bible. Like, the Bible was written by men at a time when men had all the power. So take from it what you need to in order to be a good person, but don't have other stuff apply to other people. It goes back to the whole, I'm not going to get into it, but the bakery thing right now, like, it doesn't apply to, it doesn't matter. Like, let that up. If you're really worried about it, it's going to, God judge people when they die. Like, don't worry about it right now. Just be a good person and be nice to people. Who cares?
Dave, any thoughts?
What made Jill angry this week?
Right.
It's starting to feel like... No, I don't know. Like, I haven't watched any of these videos. It seems...
Really?
Not to be too religious. You know, it seems like they're preaching to the choir here. I'm not sure that...
Rather literally.
People are either looking at it to be like, yeah, this is like kind of what I believe too, and this is just affirmation of that, or they're looking like, look at these fucking bitches, like... trying to tell us, you know, I don't know. You're getting either angry with it or you already believe what they're spouting anyway. So,
well, my concern is that it's little girls who are Christian, who it is tough to be religious of any, to be super religious in any way, no matter what your religious background is. It's hard to be religious in today's society. I totally get that. But my concern is that the way that it's the way that the more of these videos that you watch, and I've watched like 10 of them at this point, there's little subtle things of like, well, if you don't do this, then you're not honoring God and you're not respecting yourself, which is what God wants you to do. So it leads you to become more judgmental of others. And that's my real big issue with it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah, I'd be hard pressed to step in and say, no, we should definitely let the judgmental religious stuff continue. I won't say too much because you know where I'm coming from. With
I'm in the middle between you and
this
Dave
entire
in terms of
thing
religiosity, but yes,
I would point out there are plenty of websites out there for the secular community. If you're feeling particularly pushed away from those videos, we'd love to have you.
I have religion.
Yeah. Paul Fidalgo, former guest, will probably have plenty of fun things to say on the topic. But this has been a sensitive but fun edition, at least for myself. I don't want to, you know, we're trying to, but yeah, judge not, right?
Right.
For crying out loud.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
And lose out on candy corn.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, I don't like candy corn, but I'm also not religious. So I guess I'm making an assumption that if you're religious, you like candy corn. Dave, candy corn, thumbs up or thumbs down?
No, fuck candy corn. No, it's the worst.
Yeah, devil's candy.
I don't think you're allowed to eat it either.
I don't think Dave's religious.
Devil's candy.
Yeah. Well, that being said, we're gonna take a break. We're gonna have a snack. You know what it's not gonna be. So we'll be right back. We have got a different style of news lead-in that you'll hear when we come back, and then things will come to a very strange, twisty, turny pathway into the dark corners of a certain place that we all go to all the time. It's not a whorehouse. Relax. We'll be right back.
All right. I really love the Whip Around podcast. Let's see. I already follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but I think they have a website. All right. Let's see here. So it's www.thewhiparoundpodcast.com. All right. Here's the site here. I can subscribe to the show. I obviously already do that. I can look at some past episodes. I can find out more about the hosts. Cool. I can follow them, which I already do. What is this? Click here for free whip around swag? Fuck. God damn it. It's bullshit. These are a bunch of assholes.
Citizens, this week presents us with a story originating well outside of my wheelhouse, but luckily for us all, we're a bunch of varied taste havers and taste makers around here, varied experiences and all. So when the news turns to sports, well, we've got ourselves an expert. May I present the Whip a Ball Around Sports Report with Dave Fiorio.
Score! I tricked you guys. We're finally talking about sports.
Oh,
suckers,
man.
Are in my house now.
Great. Right,
Great. Intramural sports news.
All right, so this story originated out of the Philadelphia 76ers, and I think it'll spark some good conversation. So I will set the table here, and if you guys have any questions, just pepper them in, because I know this is like foreign language to you guys.
Now, what is a 76er?
All right, this story starts back when the Sixers hired a general manager named Sam Hinkie. And Sam Hinkie is the originator of what we now know as the process. So trust the process. That's what they're talking about here.
Old
basically,
episodes the of the process Whip Around, we've is, touched on this.
The process is we're going to be intentionally bad to get higher draft picks to get better. I mean, there's a lot more nuance to it than that, but that's essentially what you need to take away from this. Well,
shady.
The league said you're an embarrassment. Yeah, you've lost. You know, you've only won single digits in games over the last three seasons. This guy's got to go. So they basically forced the Sixers to remove him, and they put in Jerry Colangelo, who later gives the position of general manager to his son, Brian Colangelo, who the story is basically all about.
Okay.
Sam Hinkie, in the eyes of Sixers Twitter and sports bloggers, has become like a folk hero. Like you'll hear people say, you know, Hinkie died for our sins.
Oh my God. Lord.
They hung a banner up in his honor at Xfinity Live, you know, the bar complex across the street from the stadium. But he's basically like the hero of the resurgence of the Sixers. And Colangelo is, I think I read it somewhere that he was born on third base and claimed he hit a triple. So that's kind of how everyone views him.
Sports joke. That's good.
So Twitter throws slings and arrows at Colangelo all the time. Well, an unnamed source has gone to a writer from The Ringer and claimed that a few of these Twitter accounts that are rising up in defense of Brian Colangelo are actually Brian Colangelo himself, using fake Twitter accounts to defend himself in the eyes of the fan base.
That is so sad.
So they did like algorithms and a bunch of science, look to see who all these accounts follow.
Just a bunch of
word
science.
Patterns.
Give they me the science.
They just did some science. But...
You open up that case of science. Something ain't right.
They applied science, just add science, and they found that, yeah, there's something going on with these few accounts that have defended Colangelo, have buried Sam Hinkie, have talked poorly about existing Sixers players, and have leaked sensitive team information. And most recently this week, it has come out that it is actually Colangelo's wife who has been managing these accounts, or at least that's kind of the admission that has come out of the Colangelo household. And Brian Colangelo has now resigned. So I just thought it was interesting. Fake accounts, misdeeds on social media.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Online shadiness. Well, before we go any further with it, can I ask this? Have either of you experienced anything where you were given a hard time, harassed, stalked, even were you victimized by anybody online coming after you or smearing you, slamming you, trying to trick you, anything like that?
I only really have one because I've been pretty lucky, or I guess I don't on Instagram, which is public, I've only had good experiences, and on Facebook I really only accept requests from people I know, so I don't really have that issue. But on the YouTube channel, I had one person that one time who, like, I ended up deleting a comment, but on my intro video to the Spinsterhood channel where I'm talking about, like, is Spinsterhood for you? Like, this may be, and it's great. And they just answered, no, it's not, bitch. I was like, you know. So I did delete it because I was like, all right, I mean, I don't know this person. It's like the only, sadly, the only comment on there. But, like, that's the only thing I have.
Dave, any shadiness online?
No, not shadiness in the sense that it's like someone, I don't know, portraying someone that they're not or anything like that. I mean, I got some nastiness thrown at my way on Twitter, which, you know, when you're like,
well,
hey,
sure, that, yeah.
Hey, the Switch looks like it's going to be pretty cool.
Switch sucks, Xbox forever, yeah, faggot. Yeah,
like, I'm like, why?
And
why?
Then you're like, Mom, it's Twitter. Keep this to yourself for Sunday dinner.
For me, the only thing was just some weird, you know, aliasy, anonymous type people slamming the whip around. Falsely. They said we sucked, so obviously wrong.
They clearly meant the Fox News one.
Yeah, I think it was just mislabeled anger at Fox News. Because they actually, in one case, did say the whip space around.
Immediately, you've like, lost cred.
Which I wanted to, you never feed the trolls, but I wanted to go like, dude, yeah. I totally know. It does.
Yeah.
You should try the one word, whip around. Get yourself into some better digs. But what I thought, Dave, with this story, what it got me thinking about, and I hope you guys are willing to come along.
Nope.
Was just how normal internet shadiness is becoming. I mean, beyond unethical behavior, which is, you know, and it sounds like it's toeing the line on the Sixers story where it's unethical and then it starts to cross into harassment, maybe some legal issues. But there's some, you know, outright criminal behavior that we just sort of see all the time. And it's big business. This internet acting terribly is actually big. I mean, besides the politics, we've talked about that, the troll farms and all that stuff. But I mean, I found that I didn't even know there was such a thing, you guys. But I found statistics from the Internet Crime Complaint Center.
What?
The IC3.
No way. That's way too cool.
It sounds shady.
The that sounds like a tattletale droid in Star Wars, doesn't it? Like, it's the IC-3. Like, but it says
that's
here.
That's a burner agency, right?
Yeah.
And they are an arm of the FBI, so, you know, it's.
They're arm of the Illuminati, is what they are.
They investigate, you're never going to believe this, internet crimes. They report that internet-based crime in 2017 cost consumers $1.4 billion.
Wow.
And they said that of the 300,000 separate complaints they looked into, the top three common crimes were, quote,
Please say haunted dolls.
non-payment and non-delivery, personal data breaches. And then maybe you guys can help me a little on this, okay? Because I didn't get the chance to check all this out. But the third one is...
Haunted dolls.
The third one is...
eBay.
Phishing, vishing, smishing, and farming scams. Now, I'm familiar with the farming scam. I'm familiar with phishing.
Yeah.
Vishing and smishing.
I'm assuming they're similar.
Sound,
I'm assuming they're all lumped together and it's the same premise.
One of them, I'm pretty sure, brought frankincense to Jesus that one day.
I'm not sure.
But
I assume they're the same.
Dave, any idea of vishing? Is that French fishing?
I have no idea. I can't even think of a joke.
I guess maybe that's... I just smished you, Dave. I just smished you. I was
vishing. We'd move on to another topic.
Okay. Hey! And the most costly crimes were, in quote, in terms of dollar loss, business email compromise or email account compromise, non-payment, non-delivery, and investment scams. So it's big.
Yeah.
Wide-reaching. Again, those 300,000 complaints they looked into are actually over it for $1.7 billion. And it's not going anywhere.
Vishing is the telephone equivalent of phishing.
Oh, that pisses me off so much because I feel like old, like, grandmas and grandpas are the ones that get...
We're going to talk about that, actually.
It pisses me off.
But a lot of these activities, and again, this is to Dave's whole point of the article, I think, catfishing, trolling, harassment, theft... They all existed before the internet. There were people who would talk shit about other people behind their back and pretend to be somebody else, John Barron, before there was the internet. But now they have this new mode, this huge, vast reach, and it just seems like nowhere is more prevalent for this seedy, seething, throbbing, underbelly nastiness than social media online. I don't know if you guys feel that way, but I wanted to specifically first turn to Dave on this one. Like, how do we fight the hideousness, the lurking evil culture on social media? Like, is it just something where it's like, no, we got to wash our hands and just people need to smarten up and knock it off? Does the government need to get in there and start policing people? How do we fix the social media?
You got to raise your kids to not be anybody's fool out there.
All right.
You know, no, you don't trust the damn soul on this computer thingamajig.
You know, I can hear you talking to your kids now.
Back when we were growing up, it was like Nigerian princes, right? It was like painfully obvious.
They're still there.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's getting a little bit more creative with the trickery, right?
Jill, anything you could think of that you would have people do?
No, I really don't know.
To address that within, because social media seems to be like the hive where they all buzz out from.
Yeah, I really have no idea. Just... It's tricky, but I know for me, I really try not to accept friend requests from anyone that I haven't personally met, because otherwise you have no idea who they are.
Then you private your accounts where you have everything
right.
locked down to be like, if you were not interacting, I don't.
Yeah.
I know on Twitter there's actually even a way to go, I don't see anybody saying anything to or about me unless I followed you back.
But it's so tough because so many of these kids these days,
whippersnapper,
they all want to be famous. And so they all want to be seen by everybody, which means that they're not as concerned
not
about
just,
their privacy.
I don't know how you do.
I'm always confused by that when I see that. And, you know, a couple's like, oh, we met on Instagram. Mm. How did you meet on Instagram?
Oh, listen, there's ways. You slide into somebody's DMs, Dave.
That term is the spookiest
slide into
shit,
their DMs.
And it's so gross to
me. I know,
me
it's so nasty.
Because I just think of like BVDs, DMs. You want to slide into your weird shorthand term.
Hey, how's it going?
So this does lead into already.
Sweet filters.
As I quickly tap dance the hell out of this thing, it leads me to the next question I had anyway. I want to angle it your way first, Jill, even though you just said all that you just said. How much of this is sort of a new culture? How much of it is it's now, like we said, the young people are all doing this thing a lot more. They're a lot more open to it. Older people, we're going to talk about this later, have their own problems with knowing how to interact with it. But there's a growing culture. It's taking root right to where online shadiness is everywhere. It's there's litter, there's alcoholism, and there's like shady, scary shit all over the place splashed around on the internet. I was just wondering, and I actually remember you wondering, exasperatedly, in fact, in the past, about why people engage in this stuff when they know they're probably going to get caught eventually if you keep doing this.
Right.
And you have to invest time. Like,
oh, my God.
Isn't part of what you're wondering about, like, yes. See what I'm saying about the culture?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, now we've got this thing where there are people who wake up, oh, it's my day off. I'm going to go fucking people and they don't know who I am.
Right. Well, no, unless, like, so con artists have always existed. Like, scams, like, we have the Pina Colada song because of this. Like, this is the same. It's the same deal. I'm going to cheat on my life. It's you. Oh, that's romantic. Well, one, A, that song is not romantic. You both were effing wanting to cheat on each other. It's not romantic. I'm glad you ended up with each other. You're both terrible.
But, you deserve each other with that right. Pina Colada.
But my point being, though, is that like...
Oh, you're talking about the song Escape.
What? Yeah, Dave, in regular parlance, is known as the Pina Colada song, all right?
Oh, man.
No, because it does blow... It boggles my mind. Like, I do not get... It's so much work. Like, it's so much work to pretend you're someone you're not. Like, I don't understand how... Obviously, I'm assuming that the Sixers dude, that Colangelo's wife, like, didn't have a job. That she was just like, this is how I'm going to spend my day. Is I'm just going to pretend to be four different people on Twitter and defend my husband. Like, who has the time?
And would have spent hours and hours
right?
and hours
and, like,
cultivating
there's,
this.
And there's the whole, like, subsection of which is, like, catfishing for, like, a romantic end. Where you're just like, I don't understand in today's tech age, you don't think that you're going to get caught. Like, someone's going to figure it out. And B, how, like... Literally, is this your life? Like, do you not have anything else that you're doing? Because this has to take hours
yeah,
of time and
end?
Energy
like,
and work.
You
right?
as one person, like, if you were trying to defend a public person on social media, you like, how many fingers and toes do you have to plug the holes in the dam? I mean,
right? Yeah, exactly.
You're saying defend someone, Dave? Was that your point? Like, if you're trying to stick
well,
up
his
for...
wife was trying to defend
him. Oh, okay.
Him.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you wanted to say... I mean, pick any celebrity whatsoever, and there's going to be thousands of tweets and comments and, you know, just assholes out there spewing mm-hmm. garbage about whomever. You don't even have to be a major celebrity. Minor ones get all that.
Right.
So, like, I mean, what do you think you're going to do? Like, convince the world that... Everyone should love your husband or your wife or whatever. I don't know.
Well, I mean, do either of you have any sense? I know it's similar to what I asked before, but since it does seem to be this cultural mystery, at least to us, I mean, I'm sure people
right.
could come out and say, well, there's something to be said. I'm just going to venture a guess myself here for real. There's something to be said for people going on and getting a power trip out of I can say whatever I want.
Oh, sure.
Do you know what I mean? I can lash.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like kicking the cat, which
sure.
is a terrible thing. That you take your aggression out on the innocent, basically. I'm going to go out. What are you going to do? And, of course, they. You know, you're not easily – the age is the easiest thing to hide online.
Yeah,
as long
true.
As you're not a spell at all, even a
yeah.
little, you can get
yeah.
on Twitter. So, you know, we've got these people with low accountability
yeah.
with, you know, not a lot to gain from it, but enough that they're satisfied by it. So what I'm asking, yeah. I guess, is – it sounds like an addictive behavior pattern to me, by the way.
Oh, for sure.
What is there any way that that ever gets addressed? Is it maybe that people have better – because people criticize Facebook and Twitter for, hey, you guys who run this thing or the robots you put in charge of it, don't handle this. People are getting hassled and harassed and you do nothing. Is there something where the companies need to be pushed? Again, I'm gonna twist the knife a little bit here. Does
yeah.
the government need to regulate this like a utility that people talk about? Because – it is a hostile spot for, I mean, ask what is Leslie Jones, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just dogged right off Twitter for a while and many others.
Yeah, I mean, Kelly Marie Tran, who's in the latest
yeah.
Star Wars movie, she just deleted all, she's still
Wasn't
on
Instagram,
Instagram, but she deleted all of her posts on
the
Instagram
nice one.
Because she was getting, like, racist and sexist remarks, because of course she was, because people are awful.
So what do we do?
Well, so I think for big platforms like that, there's absolutely better policing that can and should happen, because... if you have if you see something that's not right and you report it, it should be addressed immediately. Like, there's enough people employed at these places, and I get that there's millions and billions, but they're smart enough that they can create algorithms to do this stuff. But on the negative side of it is I don't think you're ever going to fully get rid of it, because you still have I mean, now granted, net neutrality went into effect today, so who knows? But
whole other ball of wax.
But
huh?
I mean, there's still always going to be the dark web. There's always going to be areas of the web where people can go to just like spew this just absolute vile hatred. They're like, right. I have to get it out somewhere. I can't be a normal, decent person. I have to just be awful to other people because I don't want to go to therapy or whatever. So like, I don't know that you're ever going to get rid of it, but this the larger platforms can certainly do a better job of policing. And if they're not going to do it, then I think government regulation needs to step in because it's not – it's harassment. And harassment shouldn't be – shouldn't just be accepted anywhere.
Yeah, we're tortured sort of. We go online
exactly.
And then we get buffeted
by the
winds of evil.
You shouldn't be afraid to go on and – because some of those threats, you – I mean, if someone said that to your face, you'd be like, oh, my God, like, do I need to file a police report? Because you just right. essentially threatened my life.
Right.
I
or
mean,
whatever
I'm concerned.
You
right.
Yeah.
So,
well, do we have – Dave, you want to weigh in? Because
yeah, I mean, I think you can be as out there or not out there as you want on social media. I mean,
out there.
Facebook, whatever. I feel like my circle is pretty tight on this. I'm not really out there interacting with strangers all that often. Like, if someone's bothering you, you can block them on all of these platforms, can't you?
Well, yeah, but if you, once you get up to the point of, like, some of these celebrities, like, they have thousands and millions of followers. Like, how are you – you can't block every person who's awful.
I get it, but at the same time, I don't understand why people get so upset about it. Like, I get it. It's, like, a shitty thing to do to say mean things on social media. But, I mean, if you're a public entity, I don't understand why you get so upset about –
because I guess, like, for me as a woman, like, there are some things that women get vile things that women get yelled at on social media. Like, I hope you get effing raped and, right. like, murdered in the street, yeah, effing C word and, like, all this stuff. And you're like, okay, like, one, I could just brush it off and be like, you're crazy. Or I could think, oh, my God, like, you could actually be crazy and want to come and, like, murder me and make this a reality because sometimes that happens. So, like, it's scary.
There's also online bullying, right? There's actual right. repeated behaviors by certain people who then can change an account and whatever. But, I mean, to Dave's point, of course, I think people should be pushed and encouraged. Hey, look, don't just throw your net wide. Right. Now, I don't want to blame victims. I'm not. I'm just saying that, like, obviously, because it's terrible out there, we have to be as secure as we can. But I also think, though, that it's not a tight enough net. There are these yeah. abilities for people, like on Instagram. Like, anybody can just poke in and just start. And then if you're a target, they tell their friends. Like a lot of these alt-right guys. If they find out that people out yeah. there are like, hey, I don't like Donald Trump or whatever, they'll, like, pass your name around and people just come at you. And
they can now do the thing where they dox you.
Right.
So they find out your real name. Like, if you're using a different name on social media, they'll find out your real name and your address and your phone number. And then you really could be legitimately scared for your personal yeah. safety. And yeah. realistically, there's not much that police can do when it comes to stuff like that.
And that's what we want to change. Alas, once again, we run up against, the time issue here. But I think it's an issue I expect will come back. Internet crime is so rampant. I'm sure there'll be some huge online heisty hack of something. And we'll end up talking about all this stuff again. But all this talk about scams and shadiness and online rogues has got me down. And I think I know how to improve my mood. And I think this thing would help you too and perk your spirits up too. Are you two crazy droogs ready for the return of the Sean Quiz? Sean Quiz. It's Yay. Time for the Sean Quiz.
Yay. Woo. Yes.
Look what the cat fished in edition of the Sean Quiz.
Well done.
Ladies and gentlemen. So I've got five questions here, two for each of you, and then an open ring-in question for both of you at the end. So Dave can do the infamous bam-bam-bam, and Jill, if you would care to operate Desi, I think that would work out for the best for everybody. But yeah, so five questions, two will be given to you directly, and one of them at the end is a ringer. Each of these is a multiple choice situation until the very end. Each is worth 100 points. Or, Dave, I know you're excited about this part, or you could choose to
steal.
Take a stab. What, that's right, Dave.
Oh, a stab.
Take a stab and answer before I provide your options, going straight to an attempt to the correct answer. Get it right. You actually get 200 points.
Got it.
If you can preempt, and I'll give you the chance, of course, to take a stab. And the fifth and final question will be worth 250 points to whomever rings in and gives me the correct answer first. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let us Sean quiz! All right. The first one is for Jill.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Perhaps the most famous example of catfishing ever is former Notre Dame football star and Sports Illustrated cover guy, Monte Teo. Am I saying that right, Dave? Monte Teo? Teo? Yeah. I always say Teo. Is it Teo?
I say Teo.
Teo.
Yes.
That one. Who in 2012,
yes,
which was a terrible year for catfishing, by the way. Anyway, in 2012, suffered from the tragic death of his long-distance Stanford college student girlfriend, Lene Kekua, who just as she was recovering from a terrible car accident, succumbed to cancer.
Right.
Sad. Awful. And fake.
Double whammy there.
And yeah. Fake. Kekua yeah. never existed. Teo was fooled through a series of internet posts and repurposed images of a real girl. But Jill,
yeah.
your question, who did this to poor Teo?
I definitely want the multiple choice because I think I want to know when I hear it.
Was it A, jealous ex-girlfriend? Was it B, a group of coordinated internet trolls? Was it C, a former close friend of Teo? Or D, the assistant athletic director at Duke University?
Oh, I think if my memory serves me right. Oh, crap. I hope I'm getting this right. It was the third one. The, friend.
That is correct. Jill yeah. gets the first one right. That's 100 points. His old buddy, Ronaya Tuaisopo, admitted pulling the trick on Teo once he knew things were getting too hot, and he confessed that he did it. Does anybody know why? Dave, do you know why? Why did he do this?
I don't remember why.
Yeah, I forget.
He was in love
yeah.
with his old friend, Teo.
That's what happened.
And yikes, that's got a sting. Love's cruel, e-barbs and all
that. It's a
that.
Movie
yeah, you don't
waiting
pick who
to
you
be
fall
made.
In love with.
That's right. Only who you decide catfish. To pretend to be.
Right. A woman, yeah.
All right, Dave, you ready for your first shot here?
Yes.
All right. In late 2012, country music star Brad Paisley and actress Kimberly Williams Paisley, remember Father of the Bride?
Oh, yeah, no, I remember her.
Awesome
yeah.
movie.
Adorable.
Still holds up. Very good. They were the latest in a string of catfishing incidents pulled off by the same woman who faked having a daughter dying of cancer. Unusually, though, the perpetrator in this case did actual jail time. What was the act, what was the crime that got this catfisher put behind bars?
I'm gonna need to hear these options.
All right. Was it A, blackmail, B, stalking charges, C, terroristic threats, or D, theft?
I'm going to guess B.
Dave is guessing B, stalking charges. It is not. It was D,
that's what I was gonna
theft.
Say. I thought that's what it was.
Hope Jackson, who yeah. also conned such luminaries as Wipeout's John Henson. Who is very cool.
He is very cool.
But still, when you get the chance to say Wipeout's John Henson, you motherfucking say it. She sent fake notes and photos of, quote-unquote, Scarlet to Brad and Kimberly and got Paisley to sing Amazing Grace to the not-real girl over the phone. And that little action constituted theft of services and fraud, given Brad's job as a professional musician.
Oh, wow.
Wipeout indeed.
Up.
It is.
So messed up.
And yet, I mean, not the dying of cancer part, but the fact that it was like, who else did you do this to? Like, do you watch Wipeout?
The guy actually, who used to do, the guy who used to do Talk To.
Yeah. And to his credit, though, Henson on his own had already been like on the case
yeah.
when this happened.
Like,
so when it started to go out.
Off.
Yeah. But I just like picturing him going like, So he was his own
My
sleuth.
White streak is tingling. Something's not right.
Okay, Jill.
Yeah.
Here we go. Former Indianapolis Colts punter and current comedian.
What?
Maybe he wants to come on the show. Pat McAfee.
Oh, all
had
right.
a catfishing incident right around the time of these others in 2012.
Okay.
Though he was never clear about the timing. He sort of, when he talked about his incident, was a little blurry. He was approached online by, I'm quoting, a smoking hot blonde.
Of course. Yeah.
By the name of Abigail Johnson.
Oh, right.
She thought he was handsome, et cetera, et cetera. McAfee liked the fake pics.
Of course he did.
And whatnot. But he realized something was very wrong, broke off contact, and later even saw that very same Abigail Johnson account exposed on MTV's
Catfish
as a scam. But according to McAfee himself, Jill, what was it that tipped him off to the online ruse on his own? Was it A, it came to him in a dream? Was it B, he hired a private investigator to investigate her address? C, another football player ended up catfished by Johnson and tipped him off? Or D, she kept flirtatiously asking for his social security number?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, in the corner of the photos, it was,
like
photo courtesy photo. Of, like, whatever, like, school photos.
Which I didn't give you a chance to take a stab. I'm sorry. Would you have known this?
No, okay. I'm not familiar with this story at all.
I just got so excited.
One, clearly, things went farther, and then he was like, oh, crap, it's not a real person. I'm embarrassed.
You're smelling,
things got hazy.
You're smelling bullshit on this, too, Jill?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm going to say that they catfish someone else, another football player. And he found out.
It came to him a dream.
Stop.
So he says.
Okay.
According to a rather long post on his own social media accounts in January of 2013.
Yeah.
So again, you can pretty much figure out it was in the golden age of catfishing of 2012. McAfee claimed he had a dream in which he asked a man at an airport if he could borrow his cell phone. And when the man gave him his phone, McAfee looked at the phone and saw McAfee's own Twitter exchange with this woman. And then he realized, and I'm quoting here, I realized Abigail Johnson is a man. She's not a hot blonde. She's a man at an airport, a hairy fat man at an airport.
Got it.
Close call.
It's a shame. I do wish that one of these catfishing would be exposed by the fact that they noticed that in the corner it just says Life Touch.
Right. Yeah. If it had like a watermark.
The Lord looking out right there. Yeah. It's the good Lord's work.
The dream. Which I had instantly had Jill's reaction like, oh, of course. Yes.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Happened to me too. I'm not going to hook up with her. I had a dream. She's scary. All right, Dave. You ready?
Yep.
Let's talk terminology. In one all-too-familiar case covered in a Reader's Digest profile, a Virginia widow thought she'd found the perfect man via a dating site. And by story's end, a Nigerian scammer stole $300,000 of the woman's money. Part of this process, another Nigerian scammer explained, was all about breaking down a target's resistance with repeated and increasingly affectionate signs of love and devotion. Right. So break down their resistance. Just love them and love them and love them. The term for this onslaught of doubt breaking love is known as what, Dave?
I feel like I should know this, but I need to hear the options.
Okay. I hope it's Nigerian waterfall.
Is it A, desperate housewiving? B, love bombing? C, priming the pump? Or D, greasing the credit?
Oh, I think I know what it is.
I haven't heard any of those terms apply to this. So,
other things
pump.
For sure.
What's that, Dave?
Priming the pump.
No, that is incorrect. I'm sorry, Jill. You said you thought you knew it.
I think it's love bomb.
It is love bombing. That is correct. A Nigerian scammer interviewed on condition of not revealing his real name, called this taking the brain. During which, quote, a person's defenses are broken down by exhaustion, social isolation, and an overwhelming amount of attention, where the goal is to get the victims to transfer allegiance to the scammer. And he said this, you want them thinking my dreams are your dreams, my goals are your goals, and my financial interests are your financial interests. You can't ask for money until you have achieved this. And all else being equal, you got a point. You got a good point.
No, all of us.
Some relationship advice.
I'm not
too.
Giving you any money until we've met in person.
I mean, I invite everybody to check that out. It's Reader's Digest.
That's pretty amazing.
Just like Google, like catfishing. Virginia reader, whatever. But the profile there is very, very interesting. Now, okay, all right, we're running so short of time. This one is for both of you. I have not been keeping score. I'll have to go back and
I think I'm ahead
and check it out. I do think Jill is ahead.
Jill's up 200 to
200
nothing.
To zero. So okay, this is worth 250 points. So Dave, you get this one, you can still pull it out, or Jill could just hammer you further into the ground. All right, so you ready with your ring-ins?
Should I just do? Burr, burr, burr?
I wish you would. Okay. No clues on this one. There's no multiple choice on it. All right. Okay. So stay sharp. Get ready to ring in for 250 points and the win. In 2005, two thieves out to purchase gold bullion managed to steal 200,000 pounds from a high-profile actor via a fraudulent online bank transfer using a cutout picture of this performer's most famous role of all time directly from a DVD cover on his identification paperwork that they then used, of course, on a dead person's passport. Who was the actor victim who was so poorly imitated to such high success?
I have no idea.
Dave's going to give it a shot. Who had 200,000 pounds stolen?
Did you say 200,000 pounds?
I did.
Is that a clue?
I don't know. Maybe it is, Dave. Now that you've rung in, you want to do 20 questions? It's something you say, sir, yeah. This verbal clue to the answer?
I don't know. Patrick Stewart.
I'm sorry, Dave. That is not correct. A fine guess. Jill?
I'll take a guess, because why not? I'll guess Liam Neeson.
Nobody would fucking steal from Liam Neeson.
Yo, ever. That's ballsy. You never know.
It was Ricky Gervais. The thieves, long since caught and prosecuted, used a cutout photo of David Brent from a DVD copy of The Office, which they glued to a dead guy's passport. Evidently, a bullion dealer must have been an Office fan. Spotted, you know, something a little amiss with the paperwork, called the authorities. My guess, the American thieves who would ever try this on Steve Carell would also be more successful for a longer period of time because the U.S. office was better.
Oh, gross.
It went on longer than the...
I think
Patrick Stewart one would have been great in the, you know, the Enterprise uniform.
I think people like him too much.
Yeah.
He's too likable.
I don't know whatever happened to people just lying in person. Like, my college roommate, her sister ended up dating a guy who was actually a bank robber and never told her. And he got arrested by the FBI.
That's kind of cool.
Wow.
That's old school. That's before social media.
I would hope any crime groupie, male or female, would be like, you do crime online.
Lame.
All right. Well, Jill, congratulations. You have won the resurrected Sean quiz. You proved yourself a pretty good expert at catfishing trivia. Dave, better luck next time, and make sure to change those passwords often. All right, buddy?
Can I get a... Burr, burr, burr.
Wait, we need a send-off one? I closed the app.
Okay, I'm just going to do it again. Burr, burr, burr.
You know what? From all of us to all of you, Jill. Burr, burr, burr. There it is. Congrats. I'm sure that'll work in very well with the sound effects that we program in. We're going to take a break now. Time is just exploding through the windows. We'll be back with Act 3 and 3 for the road. Stick around, and I mean it. Do update your passwords, change your passwords. Be careful out there, and check on your grandma. Someone's probably taking her money, like, as we speak. All right? Unless she's dead, then, I don't know. Give her some flowers, for Christ's sake.
Maybe you're taking her money.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Be respectful.
Cut it out, man. You're the worst.
Hey, it's Dr. Phil LaPorta here. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, and maybe I'll do a magic trick for you. Or maybe I'll just science you some things. I don't know. I'm very clever. But yes, rate, review, subscribe, and in case you weren't aware, science still matters, damn it.
We return, Act 3. And hey, before we get to 3 from the Road, which is going to be mighty exciting, I promise, A, thank you once again to the Sex and Violence guy, Ryan and Gabe, who were here last week. Check out their show. Be on the lookout for Brogies, driving around Bethlehem, pierogies, plus bros, some geese, I don't know. Brogies. Anyway, check out their stuff and slow readers and all of that. Next week, Jill and I are going to be talking, and we're very excited about this.
Absolutely.
To a voice actress. I don't even know if it's actress, but I know she's done a lot of voice acting work. Martha Harms is her name. Again, a number of big name projects that I'm sure a lot of listeners will know about between anime and video games. She was one of the main playable characters in Borderlands 2, which means she's a big deal in my house. There'll be a personal story you'll hear about how my daughter and I bonded with help from Martha Harms' work. She did some Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood stuff here. I'm not a big anime person, but I know it's a thing. Dragon Ball Z Kai, and maybe we'll find out some other projects that she has going on. We're going to get to talk to her, so look for that interview. Plenty of more fun surrounding it next week. Jill, are you thrilled? I'm thrilled.
I really am. No, super, super, super thrilled.
I mean, having like on a podcast be someone like
a voice.
This is my night.
Right.
Right. I use this.
Yeah.
She'll be on the phone, but I bet you it'll feel like she's
just right here with us.
Wherever she wants to have us feel that she is.
Yeah.
Everywhere and nowhere, all at once.
It's a really big talent.
Yeah, man. So we're very excited. Moving on up. Am I right? Now, whether I'm right or wrong. Right or wrong. It's time for 3 for the Road. That time of the whip around where we get to talk about the things that we just didn't have time to talk about during the show that didn't fit in with the theme of the show. We each get 30 seconds, 3 times a piece, in order to say what we've got to say about what we want to say. And once that 30 seconds is up, we will hear something a lot like this. Jill, you are the anti-Dave in using the bell. Very well done, and thank you, Desi. And that means it is on to the next person. We're going to go round and round until that is it, and that is up. And once that happens, show's over, folks. You don't have to go home, but you can't listen here. You like that one, Dave? He likes that one. You do.
That's a little bar humor there.
Yeah, man. Sports humor, bar humor. I've got it all. I'm the total vocal package. All right, so Dave is going to kick us off. Dave, are you ready?
God, yes.
Dave, are you set?
I am.
Dave, are you? Go!
I love how you did it like a racing type thing. So, because on Saturday was the Belmont Stakes, and Justify became the 13th horse in history to win the Triple Crown. But is it a tainted victory? Justify is actually being accused of getting assistance from his stablemate, Restoring Hope. So what they're saying is this horse really wasn't a major contender. It did some downline blocking.
Shake
of
and
other
bake.
Horses. Yeah.
Shake and bake.
Allow Justify an easier path to victory. But
that's
what it's all about. Got to get the W.
All right. I read another article extolling the virtues of the bidet, and I need to add my voice to the chorus again. Why are we using paper in our hands to clean our butts after we poop when the option exists to use water, you know, the stuff you bathe in? If you came home from a day of sportsing and rubbed paper towels all over your sweaty body before doing, you know, calling it a job done, I'd call you a stupid, smelly asshole. So do the math. Bring on the bidets. Don't be or have a stupid, smelly asshole.
Okay, so ladies, always make sure that you are removing your mascara before you go to bed. There was a woman in Australia who developed a serious eye problem after wearing mascara for 25 years without removing it properly before going to sleep at night. It looks like she has little tattoos of black on the inside of her eyelid. It's so gross. So please, 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 they make makeup remover wipes. Please wash your face before you go to sleep. One, it's good for your skin, but two, you don't want to have a nasty eye condition. Gross.
No more than 1 year per wear. 1 year per wear.
You guys
wear.
Familiar with Bachelorette Andy Dorfman from a few seasons ago?
Again.
No. Okay, well, she basically cut her finger off.
Oh, it's a woman. Okay.
Opening an avocado.
Oh, no!
It required surgery to sew back tendons and ligaments and everything. So, you know, just a little PSA action. Be careful cutting those avocados out there. It could be a little dangerous. Maybe we'll post something on how to properly depick an avocado.
There you go. Keep your digits intact.
Lots of plosives there for you, Sean.
Yeah, thanks, filter boy. Gimme my damn straw, you hippie motherfucker. According to scientific studies rolled out in a rather concise Bloomberg article, those plastic straws that people are tutting everybody about are not the environmental problem some would have you believe. According to scientists affiliated with the Ocean Cleanup Group, the overwhelming amount of human trash mucking up the world's oceans are what? Fishing nets and other abandoned fishing gear. That is the major issue. Reuse your poles and let me suck my drink like I want, like a dainty handsome boy.
Yeah, well, listen, you should still not use straws whenever possible because it's still not good for anyone.
Wrong! Wrong!
But, so I was very excited that Miss America is changing their rules. I don't know if you saw this, but they are getting rid of the swimsuit competition as well as for the evening gown competition. You can wear, it's not, one, the whole thing is not called a pageant anymore. It's called a competition. And two, you can wear whatever you want. So presumably if you're a woman and you say, I want to wear a suit to this, I can wear it. And I think that that is fantastic and about damn time.
What about a bathing suit? Can you wear a bathing suit?
Sure.
No.
What about a Bigfoot suit?
Anyway, Sunday is Father's Day, so just want to take this opportunity on the air to wish my dad a happy Father's Day. He definitely saved my life coming down on a rescue mission while I was living in Virginia Beach, saving me from a self-destructive lifestyle I created for myself. So thanks, Dad. Happy Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all the dads out there this weekend.
Oh, well, thank you, here. Thank you, David. Thank you.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you both.
Thank you. Thank you. I've earned it. I stand in awe. An old friend I speak to only very rarely these days has written the most powerful personal essay I've come across, not just this year, in years. Writer, thinker, movie savant Sean Witzke used to be a semi-local. He was around here sometimes. He did trivia with me. Not so much anymore. He's published, it's called Local Color. Is the article, the essay recently on Medium, a searing, humble, fascinating look at mental illness, abuse, and locale, all examined through the lens of brilliantly made horror films. In a comparison he'd find sadly unoriginal, reading it felt like a scene in Terminator 2 when Sarah Connor dreams of Skynet apocalypse and is reduced to skeletal ash as she grips the playground fence. Check it out. Medium, Local Color by Sean Witzke.
Okay, so, and then my last thing's going to go a little long. So, kind of jumping off of Sean's point, obviously we had the suicides of Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain last week. And we've talked about mental health on this show a few times, and I just want to reiterate, to a degree, I almost don't like the term mental health because people like myself, and I know there's other people on the show, but I don't want to speak for them. So, for myself, I can only speak. And for me, there are times when I don't want to be honest about what's going on in my mind because I don't want people to think I'm crazy, or I don't want people to think maybe you should be committed or maybe you should be on meds, because I don't want to be either of those things. But being honest with my therapist is very helpful. And the reality is that I don't think we should call it mental health, because if you're bleeding internally, you go to the doctor because there's something wrong with your body and you need it to be fixed, or it needs attention. Mental health is simply that there's something with your brain chemistry. There's something going on that needs attention. And it's something that happens throughout your entire life. So people who are alcoholics, that's an addiction. They have that addiction their entire life, whether or not they're drinking their entire life. If they haven't touched a sip or had a sip in like 30 years, they still consider themselves to be an alcoholic because they know that that's just part of who they are in their DNA in terms of their chemistry. And the same thing goes for mental health. And so I just want you all to know you're not alone at all, ever. And I get that it's scary, but please know that there are resources available. And I also know that that in and of itself can be daunting, because there are times when you feel that you're trapped inside your own skin and your own brain, and that no one's going to know, and that you don't want people to know, because there's this whole part of you that you set up. And you don't want people to think of you in a different way, because somehow that means that you're weaker or that they're going to view you differently. I totally get it. But I'm telling you, you're loved. And whatever you need for help, to seek help, whether it's reaching out to somebody and talking to them, please do so. If it's seeking out a professional, and finding the right professional is so important, and it's okay to go through 5 different people till you find the right one, that's all right. And for everyone else, please just go talk to your friends. Make sure that they know that they're loved and that you're there for them if they want to call you at 3 a.m., that it's totally okay to do so. there's so more many more people than you realize that are struggling and dealing with things. And I think the more that we talk about it and the more open we come with we become with it, the better we will all be. That's it. I'm sorry. That's a long three for the road. I think I surpassed 30 seconds.
I think it was 42 seconds. Very important information. Very important comments from Jill. It's dark times. I keep saying that. We were talking about that. It's dark times. Hopefully the whip around is able to bring some joy, some happiness, some fun into your lives out there, listeners, citizens alike. Everything Jill said, I second that. I'm sure Dave does. Time constraints being what they are, we're gonna leave you with that thought, okay? But know that we will be here next week to keep bringing as much joy as we can into your lives by giving of ourselves to you. It's not that hard. I'm just talking into microphones. But still, we're going to give of our voices to you. We look forward to hearing you. Reach out. Contact us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, thewhiparound@gmail.com, thewhiparoundpodcast.com, all the fucking places. All right? So we will contact you next week. Be there. We love you. Bye.
Best we ever did it, guys.
Bye.
Click here for free whip around swag. Fuck. God damn it. It's bullshit. These are a bunch of assholes.